Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of February 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes. She's at Stewart Peterson right here in Champaign County. We'll take a look at the new YE, or yield exclusion option, for crop insurance. If you don't know what it is or don't understand it, this will give you a better idea, and then you probably should drop by our website at willag.org to find the article we posted there with a couple of links that will help better explain YE and how it's involved with crop insurance and decisions producers will be making in the next month about it and crop insurance. Along the way today, too, we'll hear about the cash grain market from the folks at the Andersons over in Logansport, Indiana, the ethanol plant there, the Climbers facility, and check the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, because of a few technical issues, we do not have access to the settlement prices today from the CME Group in Chicago. Just will take some time at the moment to let you know you can buy your tickets right now for our all-day Ag Outlook over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. If you have not yet picked those tickets up, time is running short. This is the 10th day of March, the second Tuesday of the month. It's World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate Report Day. WASD numbers will be released during the day as we present corn, soy, beans, the cash grain market, the livestock market, a special issue on land values, and of course we'll take a look at the agricultural markets and the futures in general during our all-day Ag Outlook. You can buy your tickets now at 217-333-7300 or at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. Again, 217-333-7300 during regular business hours, just $25, and that includes the Beef House Midday Lunch. We hope to see you at our all-day Ag Outlook over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, March the 10th.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from Busey. With more than 145 years of experience, Busey understands the benefits healthy businesses provide the local economy, proudly partnering with the business community since 1868. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's check the Urbana weather forecast now. Scattered flurries, partly sunny, a high near 11 degrees for the day. Wind chill values will drop to 11 to 16 below under a blustery wind out of the west-northwest at 17 to 21 miles an hour. It will gust all the way to 29 tonight. Partly cloudy skies, a low of 4 below. Wind chill values between 13 and 22 below. Northwest winds at 11 to 18, gusting to 28 for tonight. Tomorrow, sunny, cold, a high of 7 degrees. Wind chills between 12 and 22 below. And northwest winds at 8 to 13 miles an hour tomorrow, gusting to 20. And Thursday night, partly cloudy, a low of 0. Wind chills at 6 to 12 below. Northwest winds then at 5 to 7 miles an hour. They'll be light and variable on Thursday evening. And by the time we get to Friday, we'll have a 30% chance of snow, mostly cloudy, a high of 21 on a south-southeast wind by then at 7 to 14. Friday night, a 40% chance of snow, cloudy, and a low of 18 degrees. Saturday, the chance of snow increases to 50%. It'll be cloudy with a high near 34 degrees. And Saturday night, a chance of snow, mostly cloudy, and a low of 19 degrees. Sunday, partly sunny and 25, mostly sunny on Monday and 17 degrees. And on Tuesday of next week, partly sunny with a high near 27. It'll be breezy.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. You'll find there a way to purchase your tickets for All Day Ag Outlook. That's the 10th day of March over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Cost is just $25. You can do that online at willag.org or by dialing this number, 217-333-7300. Do it right now. $25 includes your meal over at the Beef House. Again, the phone number to call, 217-333-7300. Speaking of phone lines, on our line right now is Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County to take up the agricultural futures markets and the trade at the CME Group in Chicago. Thanks, Jackie, for being with us. Let's start not in Chicago, but a little bit further south with Brazil. They've had some awfully wet weather, and I know I talked already to Drew Lerner, who we'll hear a bit later in this program, and he says it's been really dreadfully wet there, and it might stay that way for a bit.
Well, that's true, and, you know, it's kind of ironic, isn't it, because for the longest time in Brazil, we were not able to get the rain that we needed. We were always getting a little, but never as much, and so that kind of hurt the earlier maturity beans, and now, you know, we're getting some pretty heavy rains, which actually are not unusual. You know, this is a tropical place, and so the soil really evaporates the water quickly, and this is actually helping the later crop beans. But, you know, it's concerning if it doesn't let up as we get further into this, and they want to start to harvest. That's when it can be a real problem. So, you know, I guess being a farmer is being a farmer, no matter where you are. Weather's never right.
I suppose it could slow harvest down just a bit. The other thing that's happening is it's Carnival there in Brazil, and they kind of take their time and party through that one.
Oh, my Lord, yes. You know, and you know, it's not only Carnival in Brazil, but we've been talking about the fact that it's the Chinese Lunar New Year and their Spring Festival, which goes from today until next week, Tuesday. And, you know, ultimately, you know, people will say, well, what difference does that make? Well, what it does is it leads to lower volume and more volatility in the marketplace. And I think you can see that, you know, just between the action yesterday and the action today. You don't have all of the participants, and any time you don't, it's just like going to an auction anywhere else. You know, it's either going to be a higher price you're going to pay or a lower price you're going to get. And, you know, that's a part of this time of year, especially when you have big players like Brazil and China involved.
All right, so come back here to home. You are headed to Washington, D.C. You'll be at Ag Forum. I'm looking forward to talking to you during or after that to get a sense of how that forum went and some of the numbers. But there are some pre-forum numbers. It's become almost a USDA report event, though it's not quite that way. What are the numbers you're seeing that might be released this week?
Bloomberg just came out with a big report. They basically have been surveying us for about a week already, and compared to the baseline, they came out with 89 million acres for corn. They did drop. They actually came in with a yield of 165 rather than 167.2, which makes sense because in order to get 89 million acres, we're going to have to pull in some acres from places that don't have as high production levels. And we've seen a few others coming in at 88.5. 86 million acres for beans. The baseline that they had was 84 million acres. And I think the whole idea that the trade has had is that we're going to stay at that lower number. So it'll be interesting to find out. The baseline was 46 bushels to the acre on the beans, and on the Bloomberg, they dropped it down to 45.23. Now, what's interesting is when you actually look at the anticipated carryouts, baseline for corn said 1.73. Now, this is for the 15-16 numbers is what it is, and Bloomberg's came in at 1.62. Everybody seems to feel that there's going to be more feed usage, maybe a little less ethanol usage, and even at 165, the crop would still come in larger than what it was. And so 11 to 12% basically is where they're looking at the stocks-to-use ratio. On beans, it's interesting because baseline was at 519. Bloomberg came in at 505. Very little difference between the two, you know, with just a slightly larger crop and basically crush maybe a little bit lower is what they're thinking, and exports a little bit lower. And I was surprised by that. I thought that we probably would see exports higher than what this year is. You know, now they're still saying 1.8, so it's higher than this year, but I'm higher than baseline, and they didn't come in with that. So it'll be very interesting to see what really is released at 7 o'clock on Friday morning.
Well, those will be some interesting numbers. You'll be there, and hopefully we'll get an opportunity maybe to call and talk to you during the day and report back during the closing market report on Friday afternoon. I think that might be a possibility. Some other things that we probably ought to take up. What are you seeing on the West Coast in particular?
Well, you know, we've been dogged, especially in the meat market, by this West Coast Union. 9 months they've been deadlocked, and, you know, they went to they've had a slowdown for all 9 months, basically a serious slowdown for the last 6 months. Now they talked about going to an even bigger slowdown. Now, today they're saying that they're going to break the nine-month deadlock, and they're going to figure out that they're close to being over a hurdle. Well, we heard this 2 weeks ago, too, so, you know, we just don't know. But we're at a critical stage because we are losing export business. It's taking 3 weeks longer to get it to some of the places that it needs to go to. These are perishable products. And, you know, it's just been raising holy heck with the cattle markets, just because nobody knows for sure what's going to happen here. And so it'll be with a great sigh of relief when we see this finally inked and that everybody's back to getting 27 ships a day out of some of these ports compared to four. And that the cold storage units begin to actually empty out so that we can get more into a normal pattern again. But this is a very serious situation. It needs to be taken care of.
Hey, speaking of ships out of port, it appears that Egypt's in the marketplace again.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think it's interesting, Todd, isn't it, that, you know, they came to us, you know, and they have that $100 million line of credit, but I kind of look at it like, will they, won't they, will they, won't they, you know, because they need to use that line of credit up before the end of the current crop year, which would be, you know, the end of May, and they've come in and said they'd like to buy 60,000 metric tons of wheat. Well, I saw the variation in prices this morning, anywhere from $299 a metric ton to $336 a metric ton. That means $8.14 a bushel to $9.14 a bushel. And, you know, they had been very clear about saying price has to be right. Let's put it that way. So if you look at this compared to black sea wheat, it doesn't look very competitive. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. I expect that they'll probably buy, but if they don't, that would not be a good thing for us from a wheat standpoint.
Can you take a look back at yesterday's trade, that pop-up in the soybean market? Who were the buyers yesterday and in which commodities?
Well, true to form, we saw a lot of fund buying in the beans and in the meal yesterday. And, of course, they were the leaders of the complex. They actually were even in corn, wheat, and soy oil. So, you know, they really didn't make any big changes in that area. And I think, you know, anytime you have a move like yesterday, it's exacerbated by the fact that you have, you know, if you're on the wrong side of the market, you're jumping out of a position, basically. You know, in other words, we saw a lot of short covering going on in beans yesterday, which forces short covering in other areas, which forces buying in other areas to try and spread themselves, you know. And so all of this kind of works together. But it was basically fund-driven is what it was. And that's what we've been seeing ever since October.
Any other items that we ought to take up that you've found of interest?
Well, I think that there's a couple different things. One being that Greece is presenting their proposal to restructure their debt. You know, they say that Germany is really, really skeptical about this, and they are the main lender. They have until the end of this week. And ultimately, you know, some people say, well, why do you guys keep talking about Greece? It's a tiny little country. Well, it is. It is a tiny country, but it is a country that could totally turn the apple cart over when it comes to the European Union. And so, you know, we're going to keep an eye on that. And the one tidbit I did run across today, Todd, that I thought our listeners might enjoy is that Carlsberg beer, which is actually brewed in, is a Danish beer, that said that their profits are just dropping like a rock due to lower beer sales in Russia and Eastern Europe. and I thought that was interesting. So now we know the crisis is real. What happens if vodka goes? Holy smokers.
Well, that one's made from corn sometimes. So.
You know, so maybe. I thought that was kind of interesting, you know, that it does have far-reaching effects. There's no question about it.
Indeed it does. Hey, thanks so much, Jackie, for taking the time with us today.
Thanks, Todd. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
That's Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Joined us on this February 18th edition of the Closing Market Report. Check out our website at willag.org. There you can purchase your tickets for our all-day Ag Outlook, or you can dial in now at 217-333-7300. Tickets are just $25. You'll also find all of the upcoming events in our calendar, including three events next week. I'll tell you just about one that's in the area. That's in Casey on Thursday night of next week, not this week at 6 o'clock, sponsored by University of Illinois Extension there at the United Methodist Church. That's Casey. There is a meal, so give them a call in that county near Casey, and we'll see you on that evening next Thursday, not this one, for one of our Ag Outlook panels. And we'll also have with us Gary Schnittke that night to take up the decisions farmers and landowners will still need to be making as it's related to the Farm Bill.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. When farmers go to their federal crop insurance agents in March, they may have a new decision to make. The new yield exclusion option may allow some producers to increase their covered yields. Yield exclusion, or YE, will not be available in every county or on every covered crop. We'll explain how the availability is triggered in a moment. It was created in conference on Capitol Hill as part of the 2014 Farm Bill. Now, consequently, says University of Illinois Ag Economist Bruce Sherrick, it's a little quirky, but really valuable.
But the yield exclusion is really important because it provides the following: the ability for you to drop a yield out of your APH calculation for coverage purposes only based on a set of conditions. The conditions were actually written at conference, not generated by the House or Senate, but so they weren't vetted quite the same way, and they'll have some funny implications, I think, if you think through how the wording of it actually goes.
Here is how YE allows a producer to exclude a yield from their APH calculation. If the farm is in a county or contiguous to a county that had a prior year yield less than 50% of its prior 10-year average, then the farm is eligible for a yield to be dropped from the APH calculation. The yield dropped is from the year the county experienced the 50% or greater decrease. Because the database used to calculate rates still contains the original 10 years of data, the rate yield does not change, but the coverage amount, well, it does change.
This is being primarily explained both in the RMA fact sheets, some of the things we did on FarmDoc, what we're doing going forward, as a change in your effective coverage. A way of thinking about it is instead of picking 65, 70, 75, 80, 85% coverage of a number, you're kind of picking bushels and calculating what the implied coverage would have been. It's not a very complicated program if you think about it in those terms.
However, while most might see this as a way to increase APH and consequently the revenue guarantee, it can sometimes have a detrimental impact.
You can lose part of trend, though, by electing to exclude a yield. This could be really important for you, especially as you're picking up new ground and sort of accumulating the yield history if it were in a unit structure that you can't use the histories from, for example, or other reasons. You want to be a little careful about the impact of dropping one just to increase your yield in your APH if you also lose trend on all of your yields in your database.
The decision can be changed and or updated in future years. Like other crop insurance decisions, previous year's decisions remain in play until a change is requested.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Let's turn our attention now to the cash grain market. Alex Reed is on the phone line from the Climbers facility that belongs to the Andersons outside of Logansport, Indiana. Alex, thanks so much for taking the time. First, we haven't spoken with you before. Why don't you give us a little background on yourself, please?
Just brand new here in the office. Started early this fall. Had my first harvest here. And just kind of learning the markets, enjoying my time here, and just, you know, getting involved in the process.
And you're a graduate from where?
I went to a small school called Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio.
I actually know of it. Congratulations. Glad to have you on the air with us this afternoon, Alex. Tell me about what's been happening with the ethanol plant, maybe the margins there, how many trucks are coming in, whether you're able to get corn out of the hands of farmers.
Yeah, things are moving here a lot compared to how they were lately. Definitely the weather's improved, a lot more trucks, a lot of guys getting out. Still cold temperatures, but a lot less snow to deal with. So receipts have picked up exponentially. A lot of farmers are still holding corn market today. Corn's turned down on us, so beans kind of took a big hit. Farmers still hoping for $4 corn, which, you know, we've gotten close to that. Basis has been improving steadily over the past few weeks, and we are actually posted at option price for corn and here at Climbers at the ethanol plant. Margins have improved slightly compared to where they were several weeks ago.
But what's the discussion there in the office space about the amount of corn producers have on hand, when it might be likely come to market, and the problems that that may or may not create?
Yeah, definitely looking forward to June and July especially, I think. I think a lot of guys want to hold on to it until they know exactly what they're going to plant, what they're going to get done, how everything's looking in the field. And, you know, I think that we and a large group of people expect things to move much more freely around then, which we could see basis kind of fade when that happens, and we'll see what happens to prices. But it'll definitely create a, you know, a big supply, a big surplus, and especially all the big end users up here who have big ground piles, they'll be moving them, you know, around that time too, if not before. But a lot of people are just waiting to see what happens after everybody gets out into the field.
And I know you have alluded to these, but what are your current prices for the day?
Right now at Climbers, cash corn is $3.83, and beans, we are at $9.88.
Hey, thanks so much, Alex.
Yep, thanks, Todd.
Alex Reed is with the Anderson's Climbers facility. They're located near Logansport, Indiana.
Tickets are going fast for the 2015 All-Day Ag Outlook meeting, and Todd and I hope to visit with you. We've got a stacked lineup. It's a WASD day, so you will get wall-to-wall coverage on corn, soybeans, cash grain, and whatever else you want to talk about. Chris Hurt will talk livestock for 2015. Murray Wise has the latest on land value trends, and Sue Martin will deliver a keynote. Cost for the March 10th meeting is $25 and includes a continental breakfast and beef house lunch. Get your tickets by calling 217-333-7300 or online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Hey, one quick story for the day. This one comes courtesy of Brian Winnikins up at WRDN in Durand, Wisconsin, where he says, of course, that May 15th is the crop insurance deadline, but that the Wisconsin 3rd District Congressman would like to see the crop insurance section of the Farm Bill opened up, with crop insurance estimated to be $16 billion over budget. He talked to Representative Ron Kind.
We weren't calling for elimination of crop insurance. It's a good risk management tool. We were asking for it to be better means tested so it's directed to those who can use it rather than the huge agribusinesses that, quite frankly, don't need it. And it's leading to the overproduction of highly sensitive land and where it is going. We've got some entities down south that are getting over $1 million worth of premium crop insurance subsidies. And these are very wealthy multinational companies that are receiving this at a time of severe budget constraints and budget deficits.
And that's just one quick ag news story. We'll be back in just a couple minutes to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. This is the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
National Crab Stuffed Flounder Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1871, Harry Brearley was born. Brearley was an English metallurgist who invented stainless steel in 1912. His invention revolutionized the table cutlery industry. Before then, knives were generally carbon steel, which often showed rust stains after washing. In 1899, Sir Gilbert Roberts was born, a British civil engineer. He pioneered new designs and use of high tensile steel for a number of major bridges. In 1901, Hubert Civil Booth patented the vacuum cleaner. Because of its large size, he mounted the machine on a horse carriage with a long hose to reach inside a house, and he offered commercial cleaning services. Among his first jobs, cleaning the blue carpet in Westminster Abbey for Edward VII's coronation. And in 1930, at the St. Louis International Air Exposition, it was reported that Nellie J flew in an airplane for the first time. What makes that unique is that Nellie was a cow. As the story goes, she was milked in the air, the milk bottled, sealed, and then dropped by parachute as the plane flew over the exposition. It was reported that Charles Lindbergh received a glass of the sky milk. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey is an organization whose roots run deep, financing agricultural needs for over 145 years, helping serve the agribusiness needs of landowners and investors for generations to come. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. On a Wednesday afternoon, I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Drew Lerner on the line now to take a look at the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the growing regions of the planet. Let's discuss the cold air here in our part of the world first, and maybe some rough weather over the weekend, Drew.
Yeah, the Midwest is definitely tilted towards more adversity. We had a pretty peaceful winter up to this point, but boy, it's sure going to make up for it. First of all, there is a hole in our snow coverage out there across portions of east central Illinois into west central Ohio. Those wheat fields that are exposed will probably be vulnerable to damage overnight tonight and tomorrow night. Temperatures will drop down below zero in much of that region. In fact, all of the lower Midwest will likely see sub-zero temperatures. And the snow-free region is relatively small in size, and as far as impact on national production, it's probably not going to be tremendous. But if you're a producer in that region, it's not a good situation. And a fairly large region, really from southeastern Iowa into west central Ohio, does have this thin layer of snow, and there's probably some fields that are still snow-free in addition to that larger area in east central Illinois and west central Indiana. Anyway, in addition to that, we'll see some freezes down to the Gulf Coast over the next two nights. In fact, Florida citrus country will probably be impacted by freezes as well. You mentioned the storm for this weekend. That is going to be a big deal. We're going to see flooding rains occur in Kentucky and parts of Tennessee and neighboring areas in the northern Delta, maybe southeastern Missouri. 2 to 4 inches of rain may fall during that period of time. Just to the north of the heavy rain will likely be a band of freezing rain, sleet and snow, and that will cause quite a bit of a travel problem, stress for livestock, and a number of other issues. And further to the north of that, from the heart of Missouri to northern Ohio and southeastern Michigan, we'll probably see some substantial snow accumulations. Right now it's a little early to get specific, but I would certainly say several inches, if not something in the order of 4 to 8 and locally more in some locations.
Sounds like rough weather. Are things calmer in the growing regions of South America?
Absolutely. There is a lot of worry out there about Brazil, though, getting too much rain in some of the center west and center south crop areas. Those regions will dry down this coming weekend and continue drying into Wednesday of next week, so a much improved outlook for some of those areas, and then scattered showers returning after that. In Argentina, it looks like a little bit more drier bias conditions will occur for a while, but their subsoil moisture is still quite good, should carry crop development pretty much without a hitch, with the exception of the far south and parts of Buenos Aires and La Pampa. It is a little too dry already.
Drew, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you, and have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner, of course, is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can find us online at willag.org. Don't forget to get your tickets for our All-Day Ag Outlook at 217-333-7300 or right there at WILLAG.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.